Numbers 16:41 to Numbers 17:13. The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. "You have killed the Lord's people," they said. But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned towards the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord said to Moses, "Get away from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once." And they fell face down. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer and put incense in it, along with burning coals from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord, and the plague has started." So Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died from the plague, in addition to those who had died because of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of their ancestral tribes. Write the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name, for there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Place them in the tent of meeting in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law, where I meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites." So Moses spoke to the Israelites and their leaders, and their leaders gave them 12 staffs, one for each leader of the tribe of their ancestral tribes, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the covenant law. The next day, Moses entered the tent and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the tribe of Levi, had not only sprouted but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from the Lord's presence to the Israelites. They looked at them, and each of the leaders took his own staff. The Lord said to Moses, "Put back Aaron's staff in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me so that they will not die." Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. The Israelites said to Moses, "We will die. We are lost. We are all lost. Anyone who even comes near the tabernacle of the Lord will die. Are we all going to die?"
Will you pray with me? Lord, these events took place so long ago and so foreign to us in our thinking. But they were no different to us. And will you teach us this morning the things we need to hear from you from this passage? Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you identify with me those last couple of verses of our reading? The Israelites said to Moses, "We will die. We are lost. We are all lost. Anyone who even comes near the tabernacle of the Lord will die." Are we all going to die? Can you identify the fear and the dread and the concern of the people of Israel there as they cry out to Moses? What have they done? What have they done that has caused this response to what has taken place? Well, the reality is, as we're going to see in a moment, they really haven't done anything different than they've been doing all the way along. So why now is there this panic and this fear and this awful awareness of what God is going to do to them? Well, let's look at a few passages leading up to this, and we'll get a bit of a picture of what they were like. The reason they're so in such a panic now is because they have discovered some truth that they have been blind to all the way along. You see, back in Leviticus, God told the people what they were to be like. Let me read for you. You must therefore make a distinction between clean and unclean animals and between clean and unclean birds. Do not defile yourselves in any animal or bird or anything that moves along the ground, those which I have set apart as unclean for you. You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. You see, Israel, there was nothing about them that deserved God's favour. But God chose them to be his own. And to be God's own, we use the word holy. That means to be set apart separately, to be something different to everything else, something that resembles the character and the nature of God. But if you flip back a few chapters, we see that the children of Israel have God in his goodness and his grace and his covenant love has brought them to the promised land that he spoke about to Abraham hundreds of years before. And as they come to the land, Moses had sent some spies in. You may remember the the 12 spies going into the land to check it out, and they came back and there were two, Joshua and Caleb, and said, "It's wonderful land, we better go in and take it." And all the other 10 said, "No, we can't. We can't go in because the people are big and the cities are strong and we just can't do it. We're not going to go." And when Moses and Joshua and Caleb said we should go, we read these words, "But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them?'" They had seen how God had delivered them out of Egypt, out of slavery, how God had provided for them for all the years that they were travelling, how God had given them the victory. And now when God is about to give them the fullness of the promised land that he had prepared for them, they say, "No, we can't do it." They are treating God's word with contempt. But it doesn't finish there. You know, at that point, God said to Moses, "I will wipe them out." And Moses interceded for them, as you may be aware. And this is what God said. "The Lord replied, 'I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one man of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt, in the desert, but disobeyed me and tested me all these times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will follow him." But if that wasn't bad enough, you may recall that after God has spoken to them through Moses about that, they said, "Oh well, we've done the wrong thing. We will go in and take the land anyway." And so we read, early the next morning, they went up toward the hill country. "We have sinned," they said. "We will go up to the place the Lord promised." But Moses said, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up, because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there. Because you have turned away from the Lord, he will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword." Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the hill country, that neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah. Same story. All the way through, treating God's word with contempt and presumption. And God forgave them over and over again. But now we come to this passage we're looking at this morning. We need actually just to pick up the story from chapter 16, because that's the start of it, where there are a number, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members to the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy. Every one of them is holy. Every one of them, the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" Can you see what's happening? Moses has been telling the people about all the sacrifices and all the things that God had put in place for them to be able to present their sacrifices and known forgiveness. But now the people come and say, "Moses, you've gone too far. You're no better. You're no better than we are." Aren't we holy, just as you are? Well, we've decided we're going to do things differently. We are going to set our own rules. And we read at this, when Moses heard this, he fell face down. Then he said to Korah and his followers, "In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will have that person come near him." Why did these words devastate Moses so much? Because Moses had learned from first-hand experience what it was to treat the Lord's word with contempt. Do you remember the time when they're out in the wilderness and there wasn't any water, and they called out and they complained to Moses, as they seemed to do on a regular basis? And God told Moses and Aaron to go to a rock and to speak to it, and he would provide water. But Moses became angry because of the behaviour of the people, and when they got to the rock, rather than speaking to it, he struck it with his staff, and the water came out. But God was angry with Moses. And we read these words in Numbers 20. "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not trust in me enough to honour me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them.'" Moses had paid an awful price because he had not treated God as holy before the people in the way he behaved. All the way along, the people had been the same, continually complaining about what God was doing in their lives, continually refusing to believe him and to trust him, continually grumbling to Moses and Aaron, who were God's appointed leaders. And now they've come to the point and saying, "Moses and Aaron, you're no different to us. We will decide what's best for the community." there in verse 19 of the reading. When Korah had gathered all his followers in opposition to them to the entrance of the tent of meeting, the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole assembly. Moses told the people, told these 250 men and Korah and Dathan and Abiram that God was going to reveal clearly who his leaders were and what he thought about the things that they were doing. And there in the passage before, we read how the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and Abiram and the others. And then when the others came to offer their worship offerings to the Lord, the fire came out from the Lord and destroyed them. You see, they made a costly discovery that they are not the same, that they do not call the shots, that God will do the things that he is going to do. They thought that God's way was too restrictive and they could make better decisions for themselves. Now just think about that for a moment. Does that sort of ring a bell anywhere? What about our community and our society today? What about the laws we make? You know, we've just recently had the whole debate, haven't we, over the changing the marriage definition. Why? Because as people, we think we know what is best. As society, we think we know what is best. And it doesn't really matter what God has to say. It doesn't really matter what God has to say. And that was exactly the same for the people here. They thought they knew what was better. And it didn't matter what Moses and Aaron had to say, they would make up their own decisions. But here in this passage we read, God had done some situations through the staffs of Aaron and the others, and through the judgment he brought upon the people and see how Aaron had to take his censer and go amongst the people and stop the plague that was taking place because God was going to destroy them. Suddenly, God had made clear to them who he was, who his spokespeople were, and who they were. And they got it. And they got it. And so in this fear, they come in this fear. Are we all going to die? What hope is there for the things that we have done and the attitudes that we have and the behaviour that we have shown? Well, we know from history, don't we, that God spared them. But they didn't really change. But what I want us to try and grab hold of this morning, what it means to be a holy people and what it means for God to reveal to us that we are to be different. Listen to these words from Hebrews. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, that's us, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and the high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is a builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope to which we boast. You see, God has declared that Jesus is the authority. And then what Jesus says and what God's word reveals is what is the standard. And as God's chosen people, just as Israel were, as the new covenant people chosen by God, we are to make sure that we take heed of God's word and what it says. Because I know we live in a society that's trying to bring everything down to the common lowest denominator. Driving into Tumut this morning, we listened to the news, which is always a depressing thing to do, isn't it? And I said to Mary, we hear about all the terrorist attacks and millions of people who are being herded like cattle into places, into refugee camps and so forth, and the attitude of our leaders. And I said, there's no good news, is there? We never hear any good news, do we? But the problem is, we don't get the picture. We don't get the picture that the Israelites got here in those last few verses. We think the world is the way it is and that's the way people are and so forth. But we don't get the picture that the problem is that we have neglected. And that as a nation and as a world, we have neglected what God says. And we are beginning to see the consequences of that, just as the Israelites saw it here. But I want to remind you of what Peter had to say about this. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling with his blood. Peter is reminding us afresh that we are not part of the world, that we are elect, that we are strangers, that we are aliens in the world because we have been chosen for a particular purpose and we have been given the special privilege of being cleansed and forgiven by Jesus, because of Jesus, just as we were reminded as we took the communion this morning. And he goes on to say, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Going way back to Leviticus. It's been God's purpose all the way through that there would be a group of people who were chosen by him. A group of people who would reflect his character, his purpose, live according to his will, and enjoy his fellowship with him and his glory. That's us. That's us. What do we deserve? We deserve, just like the children of Israel were crying out, are we all going to die? But because of what Jesus has done, we have been forgiven, and we are able to live the life that God calls us to. Yeah, we make mistakes. We make mistakes, don't we? We're very human. But that doesn't alter the fact that we are called to be different. You know, I was interested when they had the decision in Parliament about the changing the marriage definition. Of those who were adamant about it, how so many of them absented themselves from that decision. They didn't want to be, they wanted to hang on to something. They wanted to believe something, but they didn't want to be identified. And you know, as Christians, we can be like that, can't we? We know in our heads what is right. And probably in our hearts, we know what we want to do. But it's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy to be quiet when we should speak up, or to just to go along with the crowd. I want to remind us this morning from both the Old Testament and the New Testament that God's purpose has always been the same. He wants the world to see something of His glory, because His glory is reflected and seen by others in you and in me. Can I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to be different in the world in which we live, in the world in which we are strangers and aliens, because we are looking ahead to a wonderful promise, a place of rest, a place of glory that God has prepared beforehand for His people. Let's pray. Father, there may be people here this morning who haven't come to know You, Jesus, and to trust in Him, but they don't consider His words of any import. But Lord, when the people thought they were equal in importance to Moses, God made it very clear to them that what Moses said was what He said. And Your word makes it clear to us that Jesus is far greater than Moses ever was. And we reject Him, and we live against His commands in a terrible, terrible eternal danger. Lord, will You give us a real desire of our heart? Will You give us the strength of Your Spirit? Will You give us the enabling hope and the joy to live as Your people in a world that is bringing everything down to their own standards and their own common denominators, with no thought what You say? Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.